lift our hands and say, praise God. Oh, praise God. 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 Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can be here this evening in the house of the Lord. We just ask, Father, that you would just get us out of the way, Lord. Get every thought, every spirit, Lord, under your control, Lord, for the glory of God, Father. Please have free course, Lord. We've given our worship to you, Lord, and our praise, Father. For all you've done in our lives now, Lord, we're just so thirsty to hear from you this evening, Lord. Lord, and to end the service, Lord, with communion, Lord, to be at each other's feet, Father. Lord, to be able to settle down, Lord, get away from the busyness of this life, Father, that pulls on us, Lord, and have the luxury, Lord, of being in fellowship and communion with one another, Lord, and seated in heavenly places, and to hear from your throne this evening, Father. May no one go away empty-handed or empty-hearted, Lord, this evening, Lord. Please fill us, Lord. We're hungry for more of you, Lord. We ask, Father, that you would just bless each one tonight now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this evening. Got to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you, musicians. Appreciate you. Love that cello, Sister Lilia. It was wonderful. I could hear it all the way from the back this time. Praise God. Thank you, Brother Derek, for a wonderful song service. And sorry I missed half of it getting here. I don't see the list of who is online, but greetings to you all, including my family online. I wasn't able to make it tonight, but I'm sure some of their greetings. It's a wonderful turnout this Wednesday night. Thank you all for coming. Micah, I like your shirt. It's a good shirt. Just wanted to take a little thought tonight. I was, you know, on separation unto the Holy Ghost. Just feasting on, I was able to listen in last Sunday rather than being in Wahpeton, and just was just feasting on that wonderful sermon we heard on Sunday as well as Brother Greg last Wednesday night. It was just so wonderful, Brother Greg. I was just commenting to Bethany afterwards, just the expounding the things that I'd never seen before. So wonderful too. And Brother Derek preaching on your horn will be exalted. Wasn't that good? I thought that was really good. Brother Jason DeMars had given me a book, Strange Things to the Western Mind in the Scripture. And they were talking about the horn, and they only touched on it a little bit. And to see it in a whole sermon, that was wonderful. It really helped kind of just clear it up for me. And I was finding even things on that as I was taking notes. There was one creature in the Bible, I'm trying to remember what scripture it was, about your horn will be as the horn of the, and it was a certain animal. And if you look up that animal, its horns are over 6 feet tall. It can be about 6 feet tall. And to think that, you know, even just those little things in the scripture that we think are poetic of just the ultimate exaltation that, you know, God can have in that power and that authority with that horn. It's so interesting. So amazing. Just want to send greetings from Brother Tim and Sister Carol. And, of course, we know they have a new little addition to their family. Little Andre as well, so as well as the little group out there. But we'll just dive right into the Word. If you have your Bibles handy, let's have a little Bible study tonight. If we could just all stand, and let's just turn to Just to that text that Brother Donald was saying on Sunday, Romans 11. That was so good. I just want to just dovetail right in there. I had Brother Brian Narandi down the night before, and we were fellowshipping on these things, and here all of a sudden it was preached the next day. Didn't even know. And we're going to go down to verse 22. And behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God on them which fell, severity, but toward thee goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise also shalt thou be cut off. And let's go over to Genesis chapter 1. And we see the parallel. This is a parallel scripture. And I'd never seen this before. I'm sure you all saw this. But I'd never seen this before. This is the exact first mention of this goodness and the severity of the Lord in scripture. And when it's, you know, the right of first mention is important. And we know that this is when God created the heavens and earth. And then verse 3, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was what? We just read about the goodness, right? And God divided the light from the darkness. And he called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Let's just add the blessing of the Lord on the word. Heavenly Father, quicken your word to us tonight, Father, Lord, and open our eyes of understanding, Lord, and to apply, Lord, your word in our lives, Father, to cut away anything of this world, Lord, anything of ourself, Lord, and Lord, that we can be pruned and shaved off, Lord, and to be the image of Christ, Father, to grow up into you, Lord, we pray, until we all reach that stature of a perfect man, Lord, and to be raptured from this and completely divided asunder from this fleshly body. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Brother Brian was we were talking, and we'll go to the next scripture, Hebrews 4. It's amazing how you can just go over something and over something and over something, and then you see it in a new light, and it's wonderful. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And Brother Brian was asking, what does it mean? What does asunder mean? Dividing asunder. And it sounds so poetic, right? And we skip over it. But if you look in the original, it means to completely separate. It's dividing, a total dividing, right? God doesn't just do something halfway. It's amazing how Satan wants to mix things together in this world, like, oh, this is good, this is good, it's all good. But that's not a completely dividing. It's just, like I say, it's a butter knife. It's not the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So we see that, you know, as we all have been in our gardens, in our yard, and we're looking to prune something off, and we say, oh no, I forgot my pruning shears, and then we grab a scissors from the junk drawer, and then you go out there, it's too big, you gotta go out and get something else, and trying to find the right tool to prune that correctly, and then you prune it with the wrong thing, and it kind of leaves a piece off of it. You're wondering, is this thing gonna grow, or is it gonna get diseased? I want to make sure it's a clean cut, a dividing asunder, that sharp, cut that off so it doesn't grow back again at all. It's not a halfway job, it's all the way. And so we see that we know that in our lives, we see the example of the Lord, right? The first thing he did after he said, after he manifested himself, Elohim, let Elohim exist, that it says in original Hebrew. And then he divided, and he divided. Let's just write this down so I can stay on track, you guys. So first thing he did was manifest as light, right? Let there be light. There be light. Be light. And then he saw that it was good. it was, excuse me, good. And if you look in the original Hebrew, it means function. It was function or functional. And that helps us understand it, because the waters have been muddied in this day and age of what good is, right? And then what do you do? Then he divided light from darkness, praise the Lord, all the way. It's amazing just the simplicity of just that part itself. And we know he went on, and we could talk about other things, but to see that it was he manifested himself, and then he saw that everything that what it was that he was that he manifested was functional, and we know that functional means created for the specific purpose intended. I'm just going to read it because this is so good. It's so profound. This is one of the hugest things in this day and age that needs to be redefined to us over and over again. Praise God. So function means the action for which a person or thing is specially fitted or used for which a thing exists. So you think about it, he set up the reason that light exists, he set up where you exist, or how, what, for what reason you exist, Brother Peter, what each one of us exists. All things work together for the good, or the function of those that are called according to his purpose. It's that we're specially fitted, each one of us. And it's, we have an existence, our existence is in him, because we are become from the thoughts of God. Any of a group or related actions contributing to a larger action. We know Christ is our larger action. And we'll get into that a little bit, because we're not here just to be as in existence, but also to be acting. And I'm already at 7:15. I better hurry, because we got communion tonight. Lord, help me. So there's just many, many other things with that. But we'll just continue on. So we see that what God is and what he did and how he divided, so that there's a differentiation between what he is and what darkness is. It's interesting if you look how that the God's pruning tool that he gives us. Well, let me just back up. What is the goodness and severity of God? His word is by his spirit. His word, the first thing he manifested, you know, as John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. And we know the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. The very thing that we need to divide was the very first thing that was manifested. Cutting off that which is darkness, doubt, unbelief, the flesh, with a purpose that the Word can be manifested in full, uninhibited growth. That's what we want in our lives. Who wants to be separated from everything that's not Christ? I mean, that's our goal, right? But how do we do that? We see that God has a pruning tool. He, as a gardener, that he's given us. And we read that, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's the word of God. That's his pruning tool. And who holds this? How do we hold this pruning tool in our lives? Because we hold the word of God, right? Is that we hold this, it says the sword of the Spirit, right? So it's the Holy Spirit's sword. So he's the one doing the cutting, right? It's not us. It's not me, Josh, saying, oh, well, I better cut this out of my life. I better cut this out. And that's self-righteousness, right? But it's the sword of the Spirit, right? Which is the word of God. And we know that it's for us to hold, right? But for him through us, right? He's given us the power to will and to do of his good pleasure. So you could say, wait, who's holding the sword, Stephen? This is Wednesday night. You got to help me here. It's him. It's him through us, right? Because we have full obedience to the word. Does what? Entitles us to the Holy Ghost. So we have to have full obedience to the word. And what is the word? It's that sword that cuts, right? Cuts off everything in us that is not him, right? And how do we hold it? How do we grasp it? By sitting back and saying, oh, I don't know if that's true. I don't know. When we hear the word of God. No, it's we hold it by faith. That faith grasps the word as our promise. If it says, you know, for men with lust, Job said, I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why should I look upon a maid? Well then, oh, that's by faith. I believe that. Lord, cut anything out of me that is that, is lust. For pride, it says, you know, we can take a scripture of pride. How that God resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble. And then we say, I believe that. Lord, take any pride out of me. Shing, he cuts that out. We apply every word of God in a full obedience, and it divides darkness from light in our body, just like this, right? But it's a taking, right? It's not just a beholding, right? Ephesians 6, or 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Take. We have to take it. We can't just observe it. We have to take it. It was just so good to hear it, just in that same mode of the Lord speaking on Sunday, of just that you know, that he is that nursing characteristic, that goodness of the Lord, bringing that function to us, right? And then the severity, that Father, that dividing that he does, that he's working in that severity also, that it's why? To not cut us up, right? I think so many times if I stand in the way of my flesh, Brother David, I say, you're cutting me up. Why? Because I'm identifying my flesh. But if I'm in him, then I'm like, Lord, just keep cutting that flesh off. Just keep doing it. I don't care. Because I'm not walking in my flesh. Right? And so we're not hurt by it when we're in that way. So we see the goodness is that function, and that severity is dividing the light from darkness, from dysfunction in our lives. How many people have had dysfunction in their lives and God rescued them from dysfunction? Just think about that. That's darkness. You know, that's that dysfunction, if we can put that there. Praise God. That's just such a, that's a horrible thing. We see it all the time, but sometimes it happens in our life, and sometimes we don't even know the dysfunction in our life. Like David says, you know, search me and try me, O Lord. Purge me with hyssop. You know, because I might have something in me that needs to come out. But I think what's so wonderful is that we can rest in the promise that God saw that it was good. We can rest in that. Because remember how Hebrews 4 says, labor to enter into his rest. It's his doing, right? God, in the beginning, when God created the earth, he who started the work in us will complete it, right? You know, it's interesting because if you look about that word, that God saw, he saw that it was good. He sees that it's good in our lives, right? We can rest in that. It's not just observance. It's interesting. We think that God saw that it was good. It's like light came out and he just looked at it. Wow, that's really good. No. He oversaw. It means to not only observe, but it means to show oneself. It actually means to be near, to be present, believe it or not. So it's just like Brother Peter, you know, it's so hard when he's at home trying to look over his team, you know, and he's got to do all these Zoom meetings and try to oversee things, but he's not present right in front of them. You know, and so it's hard. It's like a quasi-functional thing, but it's like if he was right there, I'm sure so many times, Brother Peter, if I could speak for you, you could be like, if I was just right there, this overseeing could actually be, I could be a lot more effectual, right? It'd be a lot more functional. And how that we know that he's ever-present help in a time of trouble. He's ever-present. His eyes go to and fro across the earth, seeing who his heart is upon him. Not just like this, like, you know, with his arms folded and just like, oh, that's good, that's good. No, because he's near those, right? He draws nigh to a broken and contrite heart. He's overseeing. He's present. He's there to help and to show himself. That's the sa part. And now when we see that example, what do we do back? We see him. We observe him. We want to be near him. We reflect our keeper. We be what we see. You know, we behold him. We observe him. And it's this face-to-face, right, that the scripture talks about. But we have to take that sword. And another way to separate from darkness, you'd think, well, walking in the light, right? Because that first verse in going away from the flesh of Romans 7, right? And just this horrible, oh, dear God, save me from this wretched man, right? Deliverance from that wretched man. The dividing asunder of that wretched man, of the world, is now, because he says, you know, who will deliver me? Who will separate? Who will get this away from me? Romans 8:1, there's therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So you could say that severance from the flesh is when we don't walk after the flesh. The severance from the flesh is when we don't walk after it. And that we walk after the Spirit. So now we're walking in Christ, walking in the light, staying separate. And we do that by Him in us. Him in us. There's such a wonderful quote from, who is this Melchizedek? He says, "But look, when this body receives the Spirit of God, the immortal life inside of you, it throws this body in subjection to God." Hallelujah. "He that is born of God doth not commit sin. He cannot sin. There is therefore no condemnation to them that which are in Christ Jesus, that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." There you are. See, that throws your body subject. You don't have to say, oh, if I could just quit drinking, if I could just get into Christ, and it's all gone. See, because your body is subject to the Spirit. There's our answer tonight. You know, we want to separate from sin. Sometimes there's things that we really like to do. How many people have ever sinned and really liked to do it? Right? I'm number one with my hand up. Because sin to our body is very pleasurable, right? And the world is very pleasurable. But that pleasure in the world is just what's going to hold us down. As Brother Branham talked about, the magnet, giant magnet coming over the world. And how that some of them wouldn't go, wouldn't be lifted up on that magnet, all these scraps of metal on the ground, because they were bolted down. And that they couldn't let go. Something was holding them to the ground, and we don't want to have anything to hold us to the ground, right? We don't want to have anything hold us onto this earth, and we want to separate from anything that would hold us or hinder us from that new glorious body, that theophany that God has for each one of us. And he says, it's no more subject to the things of the world. They're dead. They're dead. Your sins are buried in baptism, and you are a new creation in Christ. And your body becomes subject to the Spirit. Try to live a right kind of life. And then when you become subject to that Spirit, it throws your whole being subject to that Spirit. And the Spirit is nothing in the world but the seed word made manifest. Quickened, hallelujah, made alive. When the Bible says, don't do this, that body quickly turns it to it. There is no question. Isn't that amazing? The Bible, the scripture says to do something, but because we have the Spirit, which is now in tandem with the Word of God inside of us, we read the Word, the Spirit inside of us says, yes, more. And it brings our body into it, right? That's why we must be born again. That's why we must not try to conform and reform this old flesh and try to rapture this old flesh. We have to die to that. And now all of a sudden, oh, I read that. Oh, I want to do that. Praise God. Now this body is subject to the Spirit, paragraph 76. Have not entered into the world, the word form, but we are still in the flesh form, but subject to the word. Death in the flesh will take us there. Just the same thing. that when a man is born again from heaven, he becomes a spirit babe in Christ. And then when this robe of the flesh is dropped, there's a natural body, a theophany, a body not made with hands, neither born of a woman, that we go to. And then that body returns back and picks up this glorified body. So we see that we have this earthly body that will be dissolved, praise God, and that we will be separated from it. Now we see that, again, walking in the light, just a few scriptures on this, just how we have to live doing that. And it's a vigilance. I don't know if you remember that story about me holding, starting a dream, and I was holding a golden sword. I'll tell quickly. I had this sword in my hand. It was the most beautiful gold and solid gold sword. And if you've ever seen, like, where NASA will polish their big telescope mirrors, and they're made of complete gold lining, because, and they're mirror polished, because they're going to be infrared telescope to see into space in the infrared. And it looked like that, and it had, you could see all these teeny layers along the edge. And I heard a voice behind me say, "This sword is made of 7,000 layers of gold. And that when you're in the light, you can reflect the light of the sun, even at the farthest monument." And here I looked, and there was a light all around me. And I held up the sword, and I turned it, because it was mostly flat, you know, about that wide, and just mirror polished. And I just turned it, and sure enough, I could be, Josh, 4 or 5 miles away. There's a building way down there. And then I turned it, I thought, what else can it do? And the voice said, even farther than that. And I turned it, sure enough, farther than that. So, of course, the first thing I want to do is testify. So I run in the building, get as many people as I can out in this courtyard that I was in, and bring them outside. "Guys, you got to see this phenomenon. This is amazing. I've gotten this sword to reflect the light of the sun. You got to see this." And I bring them outside. Now there's just patches of light, and it's really cloudy, kind of like right after a storm, where there's just shafts of light here and there. And I'm looking for the light, and all of a sudden I'm in vigilance versus basking in the light of the sun. Now I'm just thinking, I'm looking, where is the light? I got to be in the light. And I was just looking around, where is the light? Oh, there's the light. Oh, I can be in there. And then I put the sword up, and sure enough, it worked just the same. All of a sudden now I could shine and reflect the light. And we know that that is so just like us, is that just as John 11:9 says, or actually we'll go down to John 12, "Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while the light is with you, walk while ye have light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth." And then I'll read a couple more. In John 11, Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbles not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him." And in Ephesians 5, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord." Think about that, now. He's putting us in there. "You were sometimes in darkness, I was sometimes in darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." One was a state of being, Brother Peter, but in this is saying, walk as children of light. So there's a walking even. 1 John 1, verse 7, "But if you walk in the light, if, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." We have to be walking in the light to have that cleansing of sin. My. Otherwise, we'll stumble in darkness. If anybody's stumbling in darkness tonight, the scripture says you're not walking in the light. I think, oh Lord, shame on me. It's the times that I've been stumbling in darkness. I'll be my first to raise my hand. I've done that before. And maybe in recently even, is that I'm trading my inheritance, my state. I was sometimes in darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now this is an interesting thing, is that there's a separation unto the Holy Ghost, we know. In Acts 13, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Well, don't they already have the Holy Ghost? They were already given the Holy Ghost on the day they weren't probably on the day of Pentecost, but they'd already received the Holy Ghost. But then why does the scripture say, separate me, Paul and Barnabas for the work hereunto they have called them. But why is this? It's for the work of the Holy Ghost. Amen? So we have the Holy Ghost, but there's the work of the Holy Ghost. And you know what that word means in the original Greek, that word work? It means the acts of the Holy Ghost. So we want to be, not only just have the Holy Ghost, but we want to be separated from everything in this life and dedicated to the acts of the Holy Ghost. Remember that, Eric? It's to appoint, to set apart for some purpose. We want to be set apart for the purpose of the Holy Ghost. Not just for the sealing and that rest of being sealed in the Holy Ghost, but for a purpose. Amen. And then we have our enemy. He's our anti-keeper. He's our weed sower. He's not stopping day and night to say, I want to separate you from Christ. I want to use your own thinking and your own affections and your own reasoning to you. I want you to separate from Christ. You can see even in Scripture where we can look at different examples where a good person was trying to separate from God's plan. You look at Sarah laughing in the tent. You will have a son. Pow! Oh, me! Oh, just laughing at here, the one that had no beginning and no end, Melchizedek, just laughing, in one way, saying, oh, I don't believe that. I'm separating myself from that. That's just hogwash, perhaps. Laughing just inside herself, perhaps. But we see that, and then you look at Joseph, when he found out that Mary was pregnant, right? He wanted to just carefully put her away, divide himself from them, her, right? That was a good man with good thinking, sensible thinking, probably very prominent, in the synagogue and was just doing the right thing to separate, but he was literally separating himself from the promise of the Messiah. It was right there in front of him. Brother Brown says that if he would have just gone back to the Word, he would have seen it all right there. But he needed the angel of the Lord to come to him and to put him back on the right track. Otherwise, he would have separated from the very plan of God. And that's for us to hear, that we can be sitting in church. And Brother Brown says, the plan of God is, in the work of God, is so unusual. And so we're going to see unusual things in our lives. That's the plan of God. And we're just our knee-jerk instinct, right, is to be like, oh, well, I don't believe that. Oh, I don't know. That might be good for him, but it's not good for me. And we could be separating from the very Word of God. Just like Joseph at the beginning, before the angel came and said, do not put away Mary thy wife, for this is of the Lord. And he tells us the whole plan, right? Human understanding wants to separate often from God moving today because it's so unusual. But when you're totally separated to the Word, it's a practice every day, right? And we get better and better and more senses exercised, right? As the Scripture says, to be discerned between good and evil, to rightly divide what we have to practice. This is from God's Word Calls for a Total Separation from Unbelief. Wonderful sermon. He must say separation in that sermon probably 300 times. He says, but when a man is born in the world, a believer, he becomes a Nazarite when he separates himself from anything that is contrary to the Word. A total separation. There's that. The Word of God is powerful, quick and powerful as a sort of dividing asunder, right? It says, a total separation. Jesus says, I come to separate a man from his wife, tear up a family. That's what Jesus said. And that he won't be able to, and that he won't take up his cross and follow me. He's not worthy to be called mine. A separation from everything, anything, from church, from a community, from a belief, or from family, or anything that would stand between you and believing the entire Word of God. If your soul will not punctuate every promise for this hour with an amen, there's something wrong somewhere. You need a separation. I'm just going to end with that. Let's read that last part again. If your soul will not punctuate every promise for this hour with an amen, there's something wrong somewhere. You need a separation. So for us, we live in such a critical age. We can even have a critical spirit and not even know it. Many men have claimed the same. Even Brother Bram said he came back from something, there was something in India that happened. And he says, you got to pray for me. I've taken on a critical spirit. How that sometimes we can just so look at the flesh, right? The flesh man. And so look at, whoever is behind the pulpit and say, well, I'm not going to believe that. That's not the whole Bible. And yet, we take it back and we go, just like Joseph should have done, is through the whole word, that we need to have a separation from something critical. But to say, Lord, I want to punctuate that with an amen. Lord, take my life. Lord, divide me from everything that would keep me from being complete in you. And we just want to just take that and to be, we're watchmen on the wall. We're as the scripture says, be sober, be vigilant. But what's a wonderful thing is we're not looking just to separate from darkness, but to, once that pruning and separation happens, just to rest in the growth that God has in us, is that we just keep growing up. We've separated from those things. How much easier is it now? Once we've laid aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us, and now just press without being encumbered by all those things. Amen. Amen. Let's just bow our heads this evening. Heavenly Father, we want a total separation, Father, by your word, Lord, by the sword of the Spirit that is the word of God, Lord, to divide asunder, to totally separate us from the things of the world, Lord. Lord, and we thank you, Father, that it doesn't come by our self-righteousness, Father. Lord, but the scripture yet says to examine ourselves to see if we be in the faith, Father. And Lord, we are looking into you, Lord. We're all pressing, Lord, towards the mark of the high calling in Christ, Father. Lord, help us, Lord, in our lives to continue to be lighter every day, Father. Expose the things, Lord, in my life, Father, in each one here, Lord, that is not separate, Lord, to you, Father, unto the work, unto the acts of the Holy Ghost. We ask, Father, that you would be with the rest of the service now, Lord, and just commit it in your hands, Lord, and deal with each heart, Father, and Lord, continue to let the beauty of Christ be seen in us, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Brother Greg?
Amen. I am so glad to know that the Lord is mindful of each and every one, and I'm very grateful that that He called each one of us as individuals. And I appreciate what Brother Stephen brought forth, how we're supposed to walk in the light as He is in the light. And as you walk in the light, it's going to reflect the Word of God. And yet, how the Lord might have you walk won't necessarily match how someone else is to walk. He didn't make a cookie-cutter religion. We're all individuals unto Christ, and we've all been called for a purpose. And the Lord is doing a perfect work. Isn't that wonderful? I'm so thankful for that perfect work that the Lord does. Amen. I don't know where she went. That was Angela sitting back there. Just keep her in prayer. She was, I believe that the Lord is working in lives, and we just need Him to have His perfect way. And always be mindful. We do want to walk in the light. Walk while there is yet light. Amen. I believe that the Spirit of God is like right here. And what I mean by that is, if you're down in the dumps, if you're looking down here, if you're letting the things of the world bother you, you're gonna feel carnal. You're gonna feel just about as spiritual as three old burnt toast. You know, and I've certainly have felt that a lot of times too, and I find it true in my life to realize that the Lord is always present. He's always near. Remember that one quote that one time Brother Branham said, whether you feel it or you don't feel it, He's still there. Amen? And sometimes all we have to do is just stand up, you know, just set our wings and catch the thermals, you know, and just be lifted up in the holiest, in the heavenlies. And I believe that. I believe the Lord is doing a work. I believe that the Lord is finishing His bride. He's going to cause that spark to happen to prove that that isn't water that's sitting in your tank, but it's 10,000 octane. I believe that the Lord is going to finish exactly what He said, because His word, He promised, would not return to Him void. We have got so much evidence of that land yonder. God is going to be faithful to finish that work in each one of us. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Stephen. Really appreciate that. Amen. We're just going to change the order of our service right now. If you don't mind, let's all stand to our feet. If we would, servers, if you would come forth and get ready. Amen. We certainly are thankful that the Lord watches out for us. And if you want to follow along, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23. That's we always turn to every time for a communion service. And the reason why we read this is to show that what we're doing is biblically based. It's the Word of God. And everything that we do, we prove again that there is only one head, and that's Jesus Christ, and that is the Word over every one of us. And so we come right back to the hew stone here, right back to the Word of God. Amen? Amen. 1 Corinthians 11 says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner also He took the cup, when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Amen. We are that body. Amen. "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus, we just thank You, Father, for this time, this opportunity with each saint here, Lord, each one representing a portion of Your body, and we're gathering together like this at this special time, Lord, showing forth Your communion, Father. And so, Lord, it's a great, great privilege. We pray, Lord, as each one looks at their heart, that You help each one prepare themselves, or as we partake of these elements, O God. Lord, please, Father, just have Your way, each thought subject to You, each attitude, each heart, Lord, confessed, putting it under the blood. Father, we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother Derek, would you ask a blessing?
Heavenly Father.